Hey, it's Azure Friday. I'm Scott Hanselman, and I'm talking with Kevin Lamb, who's a principal PM on Azure, and he's going to explain to me what Azure Scheduler is. Now, I'm excited about anything that's scheduled jobs, background jobs, and things like that, but we also have a thing called web jobs, and I think mobile services has some schedulers. Are there a lot of different ways to schedule stuff?
Well, as a matter of fact, we have a core capability for scheduling work in Azure, and both mobile services and websites, web jobs, is using schedule in the background. So as a simple overview, mobile services has scheduled scripts, and one of the things that you can do is create, write some JavaScripts to affect data that's in your mobile service. Now, of course, with Java, you can do anything you want in the script, but in terms of trying to decide where to run your workload, a scheduled workload, making that decision for scripts, you want to think of it affecting the things in your mobile service.
Okay, so you're the thing that wakes up. You mm-hmm. know about the time and when it's time to do the script.
Right.
And then also the context in which to run that script.
That's right. So when you go ahead and create a scheduled script in mobile services today, the mobile services team actually makes a request out to the scheduler service to go manage that schedule for that script. And we will go invoke that script on behalf of mobile services and for you to get that running on the schedule that you desire.
Okay, cool. This is good because it's starting to make me think about layers. Like, people learn about websites and mobile services and all these platforms as a service, and then they get a little confused how the things fit together, and then they learn about how mobile services built on top of websites, built on top of virtual machines. You're explaining to me that there are things that are talking to the scheduler. You're like an infrastructure service that all of Azure can use.
That's right. So what scheduler is responsible for is maintaining and managing your schedule. It invokes services to actually run the work. Scheduler itself doesn't host any code.
Mm-hmm.
It is responsible for merely invoking the work on other work.
So it's a cloud scale cron job.
Essentially, yes. That's right.
Okay, cool.
The other option you have, so we talked about mobile services, the new web jobs that just came out and websites also has this notion of scheduled web jobs. You can, of course, create a web job without a schedule, but if you want a schedule, you'll actually interact with the Azure scheduler to manage that web job on a schedule. One of the things you want to think about is when you're running workloads on web jobs is, again, think about the context that's running in. It's going to affect the work in your website. And also you want lightweight workloads because it's running on your website's infrastructure.
Okay. And then I know that I can auto-scale virtual machines and, like, say, we'll shut them down on the weekends and, you know, bring them up on busy Mondays and things like that. There's a scheduler there. Am I using you there as well?
You are using us as well. So the Azure scheduler is the base component for much of the scheduled capabilities in Azure. Scheduled auto-scale uses us, as well as scheduled database backup uses the scheduler in the background. So it may not come up into your face. You realize that it's actually us, but we've embedded ourselves into the services.
So when would I want to use you directly
versus
when am I using you indirectly?
That's a great lead. So remember, scheduler isn't responsible for running your code. It's only responsible for invoking the service at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
To the ways that scheduler can invoke other services is either through an HTTP endpoint or through a storage queue. So we can post messages to storage queue. So if I already have an existing endpoint that was up and it's not a website or it's not a mobile service itself, and either I have my own application or it's a third-party application and I want to be able to invoke that on a schedule,
right,
then you can use the Azure scheduler to go ahead and do that. If you have workloads on other services, for example, HD Insight, you can use WebHCat with their REST interface and create scheduled workloads against that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to think about a scaled-out asynchronous model for being able to run your workloads, you can get some worker roles and have a queue in front of it, and then use scheduler to post messages to the queue on the schedule so that the backends then know how to do that work and can scale out and handle that
mm-hmm.
Appropriately.
And is it something that's really timing down to the second, or is it within a minute? Like, how much should I care about that sense?
Yeah, with Windows Azure Scheduler, we allow you to schedule jobs up to 1 minute. So you can have a job that runs every minute.
Oh, okay. And can I say stuff more generally, like every third Thursday, or is it more of like an every X amount of time?
Absolutely. One of the things that's important to us is making sure that we can handle both simple schedules as well as very complex schedules. So you can do the last Monday and Friday of the month between tomorrow and the end of the year. You can have it end, you know, either at a particular date or after a certain count. The set of complex schedules that you can typically create with a let's say a cron tab, cron job workload, you can also create in Windows Azure Scheduler.
Now, I know that Windows itself has like at and the task scheduler, but those things are really at the operating system level,
right.
And I could run those, I suppose, inside of a virtual machine. Can I shut down all my virtual machines and all my worker roles and basically shut everything off and then have something like the scheduler maybe wake them up and things like that?
Yeah, so one of the things that you want to think about is, you know, in the Windows Task Manager today, you actually have not only your scheduler, but you actually have some code that's running on that box as well. So yes, you don't need to run those things in virtual machines if you just want to manage a schedule. And you have a place to run those workloads, especially now with web jobs, we have a host, per se, to do that, or with the worker roles in the background. One of the things that we do provide that you don't get when you're building your own, so either using the built-in task manager in the OS or building your own kind of infrastructure engineering to make this happen, is that you get job reliability, high availability of your workloads, and you don't have to worry about those things in terms of one data center goes down, how do I get that to come up someplace else? How many machines do I need to have running in case one of those machines go down to make sure my service is reliable? Mm. We handle all that for you.
So it really is kind of scheduling as a service.
That's right.
Now, most of the services in Azure that I've played with, I can do stuff like at the command line or with PowerShell in the portal, and they all end up talking to some back-end RESTful service. Mm-hmm. Are you a service like that I can talk to programmatically?
Absolutely. We have a REST API that's the kind of core of our programming interface. And on top of that, we have a .NET API that you can download from NuGet. And we also have a portal experience. And the next release, we'll actually be releasing PowerShell and XSplat CLI.
Okay. Can we make a quick hello world here to end?
Well, I can go through. I'll go through the portal experience so that we could see what that looks like. So this is.
You'll need to stop your PowerPoint. It's taken over the.
Got it.
It's taken over the world. There we go.
Is that working?
Yep.
Okay, great. So what we see here is the portal. And one of the things we have added is a new tab for scheduler. So this allows you to see your job collections. And I'll explain that in a second. So what I'll do is actually go create a new job. And then we can see what all the different things that we can set and enable in scheduler. So if I go ahead and create a new job, since I was already in the scheduler experience, it automatically got me into where I wanted to create a new job.
I see. But it's an application service, like
right.
Service Bus or Active Directory. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's right. So we're one of those peer services to create these baseline services for you.
Okay.
So we're going to head and custom create. And so the first thing you see is a job collection. The job collection is the resource that is managed by the service management interface and the thing that's billable. In your Azure build.
This is a container of jobs.
It's a container job, just like the name suggests. It's
right.
A collection of jobs.
Okay.
And I'll explain one of the things that you can do with job collections in terms of quotas and plans that you can set.
Sure. We'll do multiple videos here, so we'll get to dig as deep as we can. So I can put it in a particular location, pick my subscription.
Right. So let's pick a new location that I haven't picked before. I don't know if I've done that. So let's create a job in West Europe. So one of the things that job collections, they're constrained to a particular region. So all jobs in that job collection will run in one region. And you pick your region here. If I create a new job collection, my new job collection, that's it. We go
can
to the next page.
You get one per region?
No, you can have multiple job collections per region.
Okay.
Job collection is a concept for you to have containers of your jobs. For example, if you're an ISV, you may want to associate a job collection with an internal concept of what an app is or a user, and then do certain things around quotas or job management based on that job collection. So we've created a new job collection name called New Job Collection. Very exciting name. And so now this is where we actually get to start defining the job. So you can pick an interesting job. My first job.
The most interesting thing here is action type. I like that.
Action type, yes. So we have a couple different action types that you can do. So HTTP, HTTPS, and storage queue. HTTP and HTTPS is really the same action type. We're just inferring the SSL for you in the HTTPS action.
So you can do gets or posts. You can put something on a queue if you have something that is already queue-based.
That's right. In let's say if you pick an HTTP action, in the UI, you get to have a drop-down for the methods that you pick. Now, the REST API is the full interface for our service. And then as you get to the .NET client and PowerShell and the UI, we start constraining those experiences to how we think people will use it. So in the API, you can actually pick any HTTP method you want. For example, head. Head's not here because it's not a common method that people typically pick.
That's a good reminder.
But it's good to go to the API and get those and be able to do those types of things.
Yeah.
So a couple other things that, with that in mind, that the API is much richer than the than what we have in the UI. For example, I'm going to go ahead and hit Bing. One of the things that we didn't give you in this UI was the ability to add headers. You can add headers in the API, just as our ability to get the UI out to customers as fast as possible is one of the things that we didn't get to, but will be coming up in the next release of the portal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do something like put, obviously you want to have a body.
Of course.
But get doesn't make sense to have a body in this case.
So that's good. So if you actually have an existing back-end series of services and you understand REST, this is going to feel very comfortable. You're basically saying, invoke this verb on that endpoint at this scheduled time, and it'll be ready to go.
That's right.
And you could potentially then build a front end for your users around the scheduler so that they could invoke their jobs on your behalf. So if you had an existing app that did things on a scheduler, there's really no reason for you to have to write any of that at all. It's available to you.
That's right.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, you could either do your own management experience if you have an embedded application, or if it's not really important to you, it's some IT kind of ops job that you want to have run once a month or whatever, you can just go to the portal and go ahead and create it.
Very cool. We're digging into the Azure Job Scheduler here with Kevin Lamb on Azure Friday.